A distant roll of thunder, followed by a gentle orchestral swell. The sound of footsteps on wooden floors echoes softly. A clear, steady voice begins.
Welcome, listeners, to a journey. One that doesn't follow maps or cross oceans, but travels through the spaces in between. This is Immeasurable, where stories don't have clear beginnings or endings. Instead, they twist and turn, connecting and flowing like threads in a great web.
Life is made up of moments that pass by quickly, like clouds drifting across the sky. Since ancient times, people have looked at those clouds, searching for meaning. The Greeks saw them as signs from the gods. Later, they became just water vapor, a part of nature's cycle. But even today, we still look up, seeing shapes and stories in their ever-changing forms.
The quiet giants of our cities. They stand through every storm and season, watching over us as we build, destroy, and rebuild. They grow slowly, holding on, no matter what comes. In a world where everything changes so quickly, the trees remind us that some things endure. Change is a part of life, and we can learn to live with it.
The rumble down our streets, carrying our hopes, our troubles, our daily routines, they too tell a story of movement, of where we've come from and where we're going. But beneath the hum of their engines is a question. Where exactly are we headed?
Even in the way we communicate today, in Zoom calls and digital spaces, we find meaning. We see each other on screens, hear each other's voices across distances, but still feel a strange kind of loneliness. We're more connected than ever, yet somehow more distant. It's a strange balance, a sign of the times. But this isn't just small talk. This podcast asks you to think deeply, to listen closely. Everything is connected: history, nature, thoughts, stories. As Søren Kierkegaard once asked, what does it mean to be human if not to make choices? So we ask you, what will you choose to see? The clouds, the trees, the things that pass quickly, or the things that last?
Voices, moments, and ideas, and something that can't be measured or fully explained. It's boundless, immeasurable.
So listen closely and follow along. We're standing in the middle of it all, where the stories of the past meet the questions of tomorrow. The world spins, the clouds drift, the trees stand tall. And you, listener, are a part of it too.
Welcome to episode 184 of the Stop Go Stop podcast. For what is immeasurable but the space between?
My first memory of a bus ride is vague, almost dreamlike. I was just a kid, and I can still recall the smell of diesel, the bounce of the seat as the bus pulled away. It felt like entering a new world, moving at a speed that my feet could never match. The leather, or was it fake leather? Plastic? I guess I don't know all of the details of that first ride. It was fall, the leaves were changing from green to not green. I can't remember the color, but I can remember the sound. The sound of the branches scraping against the roof as it approaches the corner.
These large, lumbering beasts on wheels, equal parts mundane and magical. You see them almost every day, but they often drift just outside your focus, blending into the rhythm of the city. Yet, buses.
In the beginning, there were no buses. In the beginning, there was the word, and people, walking on foot, their legs carrying them across vast distances. Then came horses and carriages, trams, but still no buses. Buses compressed time and space, stitching together communities in a way no one had imagined.
Every stop, every bump in the road, every pause at a red light, every stop, every bump, every turn, every exhaust fume belched into the world.
Every small conversation.
Morning. Bit nippy out there, huh?
Yeah, feels like winter's knocking early this year. The weather's been all over the place lately.
Tell me about it. Yesterday, we were in the 70s, and today, I've got frost on the bus windshield. It's like the weather can't make up its mind anymore.
Makes you think, though, doesn't it? It's more than just weird weather.
I've been driving this route for years, and I swear the winters are getting shorter but harsher. Summers feel like they're stretching out longer, too. It's going to take more than just recycling our plastic bottles, that's for sure. Feels like the small stuff we do won't make much of a dent unless something bigger, you know? Yeah, I mean, we can't just keep hoping the weather will sort itself out.
It's like the planet saying, hey, I'm not a fan of what you've been doing for the last few centuries.
I'd say. Yep. No getting off at the next stop, huh?
Not unless you want to walk the rest of the way.
Soft transition music fades in, gentle piano with strings.
A logo appears, advertising a new way to become better.
Always logos.
In the beginning,
there was a logo telling you that the world would be better.
This is not how we discuss things. This is not the type of bus conversation I have.
For only $19.99 plus shipping and handling.
Today, nothing like yesterday.
Soft transition music fades out.
Faint clicks of a keyboard, digital notification pings, followed by a moment of silence. You're on mute again.
Huh? Oh, sorry. I always forget. It's like I'm still getting used to my own voice in this strange little box. You ever listen to Ornette Coleman?
Coleman? Yeah, a little. Free jazz, right?
Yeah, that's him. I've been listening to The Shape of Jazz to come a lot lately. It's like, there's a structure there, but it's barely holding together. Everything's floating, spinning, colliding. You think it's going to fall apart, but somehow it doesn't.
Sounds like a Zoom meeting.
Like right now, we're improvising in a space where we barely feel connected, yet we still manage to create something out of it. It's fragile, but real. At least, it feels that way.
It's odd, isn't it? How we're here. But not really here. I mean, I can see you, but it feels like something's missing. Like we're both suspended in the space between the screen and somewhere else.
Yeah, it's like we're floating in a digital limbo. We speak, but the words don't fully land. Sometimes I wonder if we're actually having a conversation, or just passing time in the same virtual room. But this, I don't know what this is.
Do you ever feel like there's more silence than words in these meetings? Like, the real conversation is what we're not saying.
All the time. We spend half the time staring at ourselves, waiting for the right moment to speak. And then, when it's our turn, we just say the same things. Can you hear me? Sorry, I froze. It's like we've forgotten how to talk about anything that matters.
Maybe we have. Or maybe we're talking about everything all the time, but never getting to the point. You ever notice how the background, the noise, the silence, it all seems louder on Zoom? Like it's drowning out the actual conversation.
It's strange, isn't it? The spaces between the words, the pauses, even the digital glitches, they all feel more real than the words themselves. Sometimes I wonder if we've become just a series of muted images caught between loading screens and frozen faces. There's something about Ornette Coleman, raw, chaotic, and yet beautiful. He didn't just play the notes, he let them escape. You know, you hear one sound, and before you've had a chance to grasp it, it's already shifted into something else. It's like he was saying, nothing stays still, everything is in motion. Storms tearing through forests, waves crashing against shores, but it's still beautiful, even in its most turbulent moments, or because of the turbulence. And the silence. You can't forget about the pause, the waiting, the anticipation of what's next. He never pretends to be orderly. He wasn't interested in the clean lines and the perfect timing. He let his music breathe, expand, and collapse all at once. You know how life doesn't fit into neat boxes, neat screens on a monitor, or how the weather can be sunny one minute and storming the next, how the seasons no longer follow the patterns we expect. The way Ornette approached his music was almost like watching a storm unfold. There's that initial calm, where everything feels in place, but slowly the dissonance builds. Notes clashing against each other, rhythms slipping out of sync. And then, just when it seems like it's all going to fall apart, you hear something unexpected, something beautiful in the middle of the chaos. It's as if he's showing us that even in the most unpredictable moments, there's always a thread of connection, of meaning. Am I repeating myself, or is this just the chorus of the conversation? I can never tell. We've pushed it all so far, disrupted so much, that now we're facing a kind of chaos we didn't prepare for. But in all of that, beneath the fires, the floods, the melting ice caps, there's still beauty. I am still trying to find a way to harmonize, despite everything we've done.
Do you think this is what our lives have become? A series of connections that never quite connect? A series of notes that are hard to follow, but somehow make sense? It's like we're all these floating boxes, the windows on the screen, trying to touch something, but we're too far away.
Maybe. But maybe that's all life ever was, trying to reach across distances we can't quite close. Now it's just more obvious, we see the gaps more clearly. The space between us is sharper, more defined.
Do you think it'll always be like this? This distance? Even when we're not on Zoom?
I don't know. Maybe the world outside these screens isn't that different. You ever notice how the streets feel quieter these days? Like people have forgotten how to speak to each other, even when they're face to face?
Maybe we're all just learning to live with the quiet. I think that's the hardest part. Not the glitches or the lost connections. It's the silence. The space where things used to be.
Maybe the silence is where the truth lives now.
Sometimes I wonder if we're all just fading into the background, slowly becoming part of the silence. Either way, I should have the financial reports to you at the end of the day. I think that I have found a way for the numbers to make sense with our fiscal narrative.
Fiscal fictions or fiscal facts? Either way, I am glad to know, but you've got me thinking. Maybe we've always been part of the silence, and only now are we starting to notice it.
Well, I guess that's all the time we have for today.
Yeah, I guess so. Until the next screen, right?
Yeah, until the next screen.
A soft click as the Zoom call ends, followed by the faint, lingering hum of the computer as it powers down.
Soft music fades in, lingering notes of piano echoing in the background.
Ambient noise of a small, cozy bar, a distant clink of glasses, the low hum of conversation, and the faint sound of a baseball game on a TV nearby.
Another rough year for the Sox, huh?
You could say that again. Honestly, I've lost count of how many times I've said, "This is our year," only for it to end in heartbreak.
You'd think by now we'd be used to it. Same thing every season. High hopes, then we tank. I mean, what was that? I'm starting to think the Sox are allergic to winning.
Allergic? They're straight up phobic. Like the minute we start doing well, they panic and go, "Wait, no, this isn't us. We're not supposed to win."
It's like they're saving all their energy to disappoint us once again.
Yeah, Sox fans have to be the most optimistic pessimists out there. You've got to believe in miracles, but also be ready to say, maybe next year, by mid-August.
This year it was mid-May.
Speaking of disappointment, look at this weather. September, and it's already got that November chill. Feels like Chicago skipped fall and jumped straight into early winter.
Chicago weather, keeping us on our toes for centuries. It's like the city's playing a game of guess what season it is.
One day it's sunny and you think you're safe, then bam, next thing you know, you're digging out your winter coat. Classic.
You know, maybe the Sox should blame the weather. I bet they just can't adjust to the cold.
I don't know. The trees seem to manage just fine.
The trees?
Yeah. Have you ever really noticed the trees in Chicago? No matter what the weather throws at them, blazing heat, freezing cold, they're just there, year after year. Evergreens, oaks, maples, they're tougher than the Sox, that's for sure.
I've lived here all my life and never really paid much attention to the trees. I just assume they're part of the background.
You walk down any street and there they are. You've got your ash trees, the elms. Well, fewer elms these days, thanks to Dutch elm disease. But they're still hanging on in places.
You ever been to Jackson Park in the fall? The trees there. Everything's gold and red. Makes the whole city feel softer. Like for just a moment, you forget you're in Chicago.
but you can find amazing trees all over the city if you're looking. Take the Burr Oaks in Lincoln Park. They've been around for, 100 years? Maybe more. And don't forget the cottonwoods near the lake. Those things are huge.
It's funny, we think of this place as a concrete jungle, but there's a whole forest quietly growing between the cracks. Everything just keeps growing, no matter how tough things get.
Yeah, those trees don't quit. Even in the dead of winter, you see those bare branches stretching out against the skyline.
At least the trees are consistent.
Maybe we should start rooting for them instead. We could call them the Chicago Oaks or something.
Now that's a team I'd get behind. No injuries, no trades, no scandals. Just steady growth.
I mean, some of those old oaks were here before any of us. Before the skyscrapers, the highways. Imagine what they've witnessed. The Great Chicago Fire, the World's Fair, decades of change.
I think there's something comforting about that. In a city that's always moving, always rebuilding, they're one of the few things that stays constant.
Maybe even more seasons than the Sox. And somehow, they're still standing, still thriving.
Well, here's to the trees. Long may they reign.
To the trees, stronger than our batting lineup, and far more reliable.
And here's hoping we learn a thing or two from them, like how to stick around when the winds change.
The trees of Chicago, they are often overlooked, but they have stood witness to centuries of change. They weather storms, the bitter winters, and the blistering summers, standing firm as the city shifts around them.
American elm.
Once the dominant tree lining Chicago's streets, the American elm was heavily affected by Dutch elm disease in the mid-20th century. However, disease-resistant varieties are making a comeback.
Known for its high canopy and distinctive vase-like shape, this tree represents resilience and is a symbol of urban recovery.
Sugar maple.
A large, deciduous tree known for its brilliant fall colors, turning shades of red, yellow, and orange.
Valued for its beauty, shade, and maple syrup, the sugar maple thrives in Chicago's parks and suburban areas, though urban pollution can be challenging for it.
Red maple.
Similar to the sugar maple, but hardier for urban conditions, this tree also boasts stunning fall colors.
Its ability to tolerate different soil conditions makes it a popular choice for city streets and parks.
Northern red oak.
A strong, long-living tree with a broad canopy and characteristic lobed leaves that turn red in the fall.
One of the largest and most iconic native trees of Chicago, the red oak is known for its hardwood and its importance to wildlife.
White oak.
The Illinois state tree. It has a broad spreading canopy and is known for its light-colored bark and strong, durable wood.
Highly regarded for its role in Illinois' history and ecology, the white oak is a cornerstone species in the region's forests.
Honey locust.
A hardy urban tree, the honey locust has small, fern-like leaves and often appears in open areas and street plantings.
Its fine foliage casts a light shade, making it a favorite for urban areas because it doesn't block out too much sunlight, and it's tolerant of pollution and poor soil.
Kentucky coffee tree.
A tough, low-maintenance tree with distinctive compound leaves and large decorative seed pods. Its tolerance of pollution and urban conditions makes it an excellent choice for city parks and streets.
London plane tree.
A hybrid of the American sycamore and oriental plane, this tree has a distinctive mottled bark and is common in urban environments. Its resistance to pollution and tolerance of tough city conditions have made it a popular street tree in Chicago.
Eastern white pine.
A tall, majestic evergreen with soft, flexible needles, the eastern white pine grows well in natural areas and parks. It provides year-round beauty and shelter for wildlife and is one of the few native evergreens in the Chicago area.
Ginkgo.
A unique ancient tree with fan-shaped leaves that turn a bright yellow in the fall. Ginkgo trees are known for their resilience in urban areas, resistant to pollution, pests, and disease. This tree has become a common sight in Chicago streetscapes.
Silver maple.
Known for its rapid growth and silver-backed leaves, the silver maple is often found near water or in large open areas. Its fast growth and ability to thrive in tough conditions make it a common choice for city planting, though its brittle wood can be a downside.
hackberry.
A hardy, drought-resistant tree with warty bark and small, edible berries that are popular with birds. Its tolerance for poor soil and urban conditions make it a popular choice for streets and parks, especially as a replacement for American elms.
American basswood.
A large, shade-producing tree with heart-shaped leaves and fragrant flowers in early summer. This tree is valued for its shade, beauty, and its role in supporting local pollinators like bees.
Bur oak.
A tough, drought-resistant oak with a large, sprawling crown and thick, furrowed bark.
Known for its adaptability to different environments, the bur oak is a key species for wildlife and a symbol of resilience in Chicago's changing climate.
Catalpa.
A medium-sized tree with large, heart-shaped leaves, showy white flowers, and long, slender seed pods. Known for its striking appearance and tolerance of city conditions, the catalpa adds character to parks and streets with its distinctive look.
The sound of wind through leaves fades in, soft and serene. The distant hum of the city accompanies the wind.
While the world around them rebuilds and falters, trees keep growing, their roots deep in the soil of history. And perhaps, in their quiet, resilient presence, we find a reminder of what it means to endure, to adapt, and to thrive, even when the odds aren't in our favor.
The soft clink of teacups on a table, the ambient noise of a coffee shop, muted conversations, faint jazz playing in the background.
You ever think about clouds? I mean, really think about them.
Clouds? You're getting philosophical on me already. What's up with the clouds?
Wait, no, I get it. Clouds are fascinating. The Greeks thought so too, didn't they? I remember reading somewhere that they believed clouds were the breath of the gods, or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. The Greeks thought of clouds as divine messengers. In the clouds, Aristophanes wrote a whole play about it. Clouds were literally watching over the world, shapeshifters in the sky. Zeus, the god of the sky, ruled over them. So basically, clouds were like Zeus's way of saying, hey, pay attention, something's about to happen.
Yeah, like storm incoming. Zeus is in a mood again.
Pretty much. But then later you had people like Aristotle. He took it down a notch, made it more scientific. He said clouds were just water vapor, nothing magical, just part of the natural order of things.
So Aristotle was the first buzzkill, turns the breath of gods into plain old water vapor.
It's funny though, because we're still looking at clouds, trying to make sense of them. We don't call them divine messengers anymore, but we can't help projecting meaning onto them. Even now you look up at the sky and you see shapes, animals, faces, whatever your mind conjures up.
Clouds are still these perfect blank canvases for our imagination. There's something timeless about them. And, I mean, people still study them. Meteorologists, poets, even philosophers. Did you know Søren Kierkegaard wrote about clouds?
Kierkegaard? The existentialist guy? What's he got to say about clouds?
Well, it's not like he wrote on clouds or anything, but in his journals he mentioned them. He talked about how clouds represented the tension between the infinite and the finite. You know, how they're these fleeting, temporary things constantly changing, but they're also part of something much bigger.
So, like, clouds are a metaphor for life?
Exactly. He saw them as symbols of how we're all stuck in between, between the eternal and the everyday. Kierkegaard was obsessed with that tension, the idea that we're always caught between choosing something that matters and getting lost in the mundane.
So if I stare at clouds long enough, I'll have an existential crisis? Sounds very on brand for Kierkegaard.
Well, maybe that's what you get for staring at clouds too much. Existential dread.
But isn't that kind of true? I mean, clouds are this perfect metaphor. They drift in, they change, they disappear. You can never hold on to them. No matter how beautiful or strange they are, they're always slipping away. We're always chasing after things, trying to grasp moments, but they just dissolve like clouds.
A brief pause as the three stare out the window, watching clouds slowly move across the sky. Yeah, Life does feel a bit like that sometimes. Just when you think you've got something figured out, it changes. Like a cloud shape shifting into something else.
And yet we keep looking up. No matter how fleeting they are, we still stare at clouds, try to capture them in pictures, or paint them. There's something about them that keeps drawing us in. Maybe it's because they remind us that everything is in motion and nothing stays the same.
And even though clouds are always changing, there's something comforting about that. They remind us that change is constant, and maybe that's okay. It's all part of the flow.
So, what you're telling me is, next time there's a storm, instead of worrying about getting soaked, I should be pondering my existence?
Well, it is Chicago. You've got plenty of stormy days to contemplate your place in the universe.
Kierkegaard would have loved it here. One day it's sunny, and the next, the sky's a blanket of heavy clouds. Perfect metaphor for the human condition.
So, the weather's depressing on purpose? Chicago's just helping us get more in touch with our philosophical side?
Between the clouds and the Sox losing, we've got plenty to reflect on.
You've got the time, the mood, and the clouds to think about the big stuff. Life, loss, and everything in between. It's all up there, floating by. The sound of wind picking up as though pushing.
Stories drift like clouds.
Whispers through the air.
Moments slip between.
Shifting everywhere.
Trees stand still.
Roots deep in the earth.
Marking time's quiet turn.
Measuring our worth.
Buses hum and move.
Carrying what we leave behind.
Voices echo, fade.
Connections hard to find.
In the space between.
We look, we feel, we see.
What's fleeting, what remains.
What's truly meant to be.
You have been listening to episode 184 of the Stop Go Stop podcast. This program was written and produced by John Wenzel. From Chicago to your ears, thank you for listening.